Now we're discussing Bhajan Rahasya and Panchamayam Sadhana, chanting the holy name of the Lord at the level of asakti, attachment to Krishna. There's nishta, then ruchi, then asakti, then bhav, and prema. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has taken this verse of Shikshastakam and minutely analyzed the essential points for the sadhaka developing his bhajan. These essential points of his analysis form what he calls the secrets of bhajan, rahasyam, bhajan rahasyam, which were given to him directly in his meditation. In his lila smaran, and his nam smaran, chanting the holy name at 1 o'clock at night during Ratrikal, during the Ras Lila time, he was chanting the holy name and meditating on the pastimes of the Lord and reviewing these prayers of Shikshastakam. And Radharani spoke in his heart, and Radharani's servant spoke in his heart, this verse, that verse, this verse, that verse. So for this particular series of verses elucidating this concept of Kinkara, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Vam Vishvambhambhado Kripyatava Padamankajas Tita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Ai, hey, oh listen, please listen. Oh Nanda Nandan, oh beloved, charming, beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your servant. Ami Kinkara. Ami Tomara Kinkara. I am your Kinkara. I am your surrendered servant. Jivara Surupaya Krishnara Nityadas. I am your eternal servant. But I'm in a terrible predicament. I've forgotten your service. I become Krishna Bahirmukh. Krishna Bahirmukh. I turned my face away from you to the outside. I looked to the glimmer of Maya and gave up the attraction to the Antaranga Shakti. I was more captivated by the sparkle and glimmer of Maya, by your Maya Shakti than your Yoga Maya Shakti. So I went the wrong way. I took the wrong turn from time immemorial. So I'm stuck over here. I'm stuck in a very fluid place. It's fluid. Fluid by nature is always moving, changing, changing its shape, changing its temperature. It's an ocean of fluid, Bhavambuddhi. And it's Vishambuddhi. I'm suffering this ocean of material sense gratification, and I need some dry land. I'm all wet. He says, Ayananda Tanushikindkram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavambuddhi. I'm Ambudi. I'm drowning in this Vishame Ambudi. I'm drowning in this ocean of sense gratification. And I'm fallen, Patitam. I'm fallen in this wet land, in this wet land of forgetfulness. I'm being washed and tossed by the waves of the gunas. The three gunas are like taranga. They're like waves. Raja taranga, Sattva taranga, Tamo taranga. They're waves of ignorance, waves of passion. Sometimes a wave of goodness lifts me up. Sometimes a wave of passion pushes me from right to left. And sometimes a wave of ignorance dunks me and puts me deep down in the modes of total absolute forgetfulness. Ignorance, illegitimate action, sinful action, abominable action under the influence of the wave of tamagun. And I'm bobbing and floating and rising and falling and tossing and turning all in this ocean of material energy. Trigunamayi. Gunasagar. So I'm all wet. It's all liquid. It's always moving and I'm really disturbed. I need some dry land. Can you please take me on dry land? Give me the dry shelter. I want to be duli. Duli is dry. Duli is dirt. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. Duli means go duli. Duli means the earth, the brajaraj. Brajaraj means dirt. Duli. D-H-U-L-I. Duli. Duli is dirt. It's dry and wet. They're two opposites. So the ocean is wet. It's liquid. It's moving. It's changing shape. But a piece of dirt is solid. Has its dimension, length, width, and depth. Duli is solid. It's a solid particle. It's not changing its shape. It's solid. So I don't want to change my shape anymore. I don't want to be influenced by the modes of nature anymore. Sometimes taking the shape of ignorance, sometimes taking the shape of goodness or passion or a permutation of all, or two or three, or a mixture of three. I want to be permanently fixed. Where? Not in this changeable ocean of Maya. But I want to be fixed on your lotus feet. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. This is dry land. This is an island in the ocean. This is my shelter. My dry place. So he's saying like this. And then he's saying that once I'm fixed there, then I can realize my eternal service position. That Ami Tomar Kinkar. I'm your eternal servant. So in these series of verses, now he's continually quoting from Radharasudha Nidhi by Prabodhananda Saraswati. about this concept of kinkara, or kinkari bhav, serving the Lord in the mode of a maidservant, a pransaki manjari, specifically serving the Lord by serving his devotee. And there are unlimited verses, not unlimited, but let's say many verses, in Adi Puran and others, where Krishna is saying, he who says he's my devotee is not, oh Arjun, listen. He who says he is my devotee, I do not accept or consider he's my devotee. But he who says he's a devotee of my devotee, I actually accept his devotion. I consider him my own. So someone says, yes, I'm Krishna Bhakta, I'm Krishna's servant. Krishna's not very impressed. Krishna's not very appreciative. But if you say, oh Krishna, do you know that I'm a servant of the servant of the servant? Just like in India, when one fills out a legal form, he fills out some legal form, insurance form, it says name. Then it says S-O. S-O means son of. Now I think there's some women's lib laws in India where they also have D-O. Daughter of or mother of, whatever, some funny thing. Usually it says the father, it's your name, Mr. Sunil Gupta, S-O, son of Mr. Arjun Gupta. On your form, you have to put that. It's only in India, other countries they don't have, at least America. You're an island to yourself. Your father's not included there. It's a name and your address and that's it. But here you're connected. You're connected to your father. So this is the whole idea. Krishna wants to see what is your connection. Don't try to come directly to me. Come through connection. There must be some parampara, evam parampara praptam. What is your connection? Who is your, what is your introduction? It's a form of introduction. In fact, in Vedic culture, traditional Vedic culture, this was the means of introduction. Someone would introduce themselves. They wouldn't just say, I'm Mr. Sharma. I'm a nuclear physicist or research scientist or whatever, and I live in such and such a place. In Vedic culture, you would introduce yourself by your lineage, by your gotra. So I am, you see also in Mahabharata, when Arjuna meets someone, he says, I am Arjuna, I am the son of. You ever hear in the Mahabharata movies? They say, someone says, who are you? He meets King Mayurdwaj, and he says, I am Arjuna. I am the son of Pandu or whatever, you know, like this. And we're coming in the illustrious Surya Vamsha and of descendants of the Rishi so-and-so. It's a long introduction of your connection. Who are you connected to? So this was important in Vedic culture. Who, the people above your head, who are your seniors, who are your authorities. So the same thing, Krishna wants to, doesn't want people to say, oh yes, I'm Krishna's servant. He wants to see what is your connection. Oh Krishna, I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Oh, that's very good. You come in a very good serving line, a very good line of connection. I'm very much impressed. You see in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, or rather, in Sankalpa Kabaldruma, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they're describing sometimes that some Rupa Manjari receives some garland, and then Rupa Manjari may give the garland to Lalita. Lalita offers it to Radharani, or even Rupa Manjari may. Then Radharani might say, who has given this garland? Then Rupa Manjari says, oh, this has been given by so-and-so Manjari, who is a disciple. Well, who is that? Oh, this Manjari is a disciple of Lokanath Goswami or whatever this, or Manjari, Manjulali. Oh, Manjulali, the servant, this garland's been made by the servant of Manjulali Manjari. Oh, Manjulali Manjari's servant. Oh, that's very good. So Radharani, even on that level, she wants to know what is the connection, what is your relationship and connection with other superiors in your Guru Sakhi Parampara. So this particular verse, text 16, is entitled Radha Bhajan. We've talked about Radha Dasyam. Now what is the Bhajan? How does one worship Radharani? How does one worship? In other words, we're talking about not worshiping Krishna directly, but worshiping Krishna's greatest devotee by worshiping Radharani. It's called Radha Bhajan. And this is called Radha Dasyam. This is more pleasing to Krishna, more satisfying to Krishna than if you worship him directly. This is Radha Bhajan and Radha Dasyam, text 16, Panchmayam Sadhana. Searching for Sri Radhanath while engaged in the service of Sri Radha. It's described in verse 142 of Sri Radharasura Nidhi. Radha Nama Sudara Samrasayatam Jivastu Mevivala Paro Tatpara Kankita Sucharatam Vrindata Vivitishu Tatkarmeva Karakarota Ridayam Tasya Padam Dayatam Tadbhavot Savataparam Bhavavatu Me Tat Prana Naterati. Prabhupada Saraswati prays, may my tongue, so this is the actual bhajan. We heard about the principle of Radha Dasyam, of serving Radharani, and how this is encouraged. Now how to do it. May my tongue become constantly overwhelmed by relishing the nectarine ras of Radha Nam. May my feet wander on the pathways of that Vrindavan where Vrishabhanu Nandini walks. May both my hands be engaged in Swamini's service, and may my heart contemplate her lotus feet. By Srimati's festival of ecstatic moods known as Bhavotsav, Utsav or Bhav, Bhavotsav, may one-pointed attachment manifest within me for Radharani's Prananath, Sri Shamsundar. This is my earnest prayer. So this prayer of Radharasura Nidhi indicates the extent of absorption that this devotee or mandri has, or intention or desire to worship Radharani, wants to walk on the footpaths frequented where Radharani walked. It almost sounds something like Ambarish Maharaj, but this is a prayer from the level of course a sakti. This prayer is coming out of the level of a sakti, at the level of an intense attachment to the Lord and the Lord's devotees. These type of sentiments will arise in the heart of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. When you look at the prayer of Ambarish Maharaj in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, he says, Savaya Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yoravai Chamsi Vaikunta Gunarnavarane. He says, let my mind always be fixed on the lotus feet of Vishnu. And may my mouth or words always be engaged in glorifying the Vaikuntha Gun, the glories of the Lord of Vaikuntha. May my hands always be engaged in cleaning the temple. May my legs always be engaged in carrying me to the temple. And may my head always be engaged in offering obeisances to the Lord. And this way he was praying to have all his limbs and all his bodily parts engaged in the service of the Lord. This attitude or this angle of vision is mostly like Vaidhi Sadhana at the level of Nishta. It's traced out to Vishnu, and it's basically engaging the limbs in the service of Vishnu. But in this prayer, in Radharasura Nidhi, the object of service, the Vishai Seva Vishai, object of service is Vrishabhanu Nandini, Srimati Radharani. And he's saying, I want to walk in the footpaths of Braj. And the footpaths of Braj, as today we have names of these rather large streets, they're called Chatikar Road, Vrindavan Road, Mathura Road, Govardhan Road, Delhi Agra Highway, National Highway 5, etc. But in Radharani's time, there were small footpaths here and there, and they also had names. Otherwise, how could they meet each other? And where would they meet each other? So there are reference points. Small gullies had names. So they had names like Prem Gully. One gully means very narrow area where maybe one person, wide enough for one person, a footpath through the forest, wide enough for one person, one-way traffic. And if you went both ways, then you'd have to bump into the person coming from the other direction. And that wasn't any problem, because if Radharani was coming one way and Krishna was coming the other way, then they would have to bump into each other. And they certainly don't mind that in any time or any place. There's only one person wide footpath. So it's one-way traffic. So these lanes and small, they're called, not even lanes, they're actually gullies. They're called Prem Gully, Man Gully, Dan Gully. There's also Leelas that happened there. So Tunga Vidyasakhi, or rather Prabhupada Saraswati, is praying here in Radharasura Nidhi. He says, I want my feet to wander in the pathways of that Vrindavan where Vrishabhanu Nandini walks. So where does she walk? Where are those pathways? One of those pathways is the Parikrama Marga of Govardhan. You can imagine when we're walking around Govardhan, especially the inside path. The inside path means Radha's path. It means Radha Gali, Prem Gali. The outside path is called Gari Gali. The outside path is car road. That's called like nowadays, in the last 10 years, there's a new phenomenon. People always used to walk on Parikrama of Govardhan, either the inner or what they call the outer path. The surfaced road, the macadam asphalt road, was called the outer path. But in the last 10 years, there's a group of people from North India called Punjabis. And they like to drive, whatever they want to do, they want to drive there. They drive to work, they drive to Haldiram's, they drive to the theater, they drive to the mall. And if they had their way, they would drive their car inside the mall and inside Haldiram's, drive right inside the temple, take darshan and drive out. They're really not much into walking. And you can see the result of their rather healthy forms. So they've approached the Govardhan Parikrama Marga in the same automotive fashion. And they've developed a whole special parikrama, which will have to be written into the Shastras now. It's called, you meet them on Sunday and you say, I went to Vrindavan. What did you? I did a car parikrama of Govardhan. Car parikrama of Govardhan. I never heard it in 1970, 1980, 1990. But after 95, last 10 years, I meet so many people that tell me, oh, Maharaj, I was in Vrindavan. I meant to stop and see you. I was nearby your ashram. I was just there in Govardhan. I took my family. They came from England. We did a car parikrama of Govardhan. I said, acha, that's very nice, car parikrama. Nice AC, Honda City. Put on your stereo. Judge it, sing nice music, tabla, sitar. You know, have some lassi and kachori and just have the AC on and just go around. Oh, yes, yes, and chit-chat, and gossip, and finance, and cricket, and everything. And do your Govardhan Parikrama. Meanwhile, you run over a few cows, run over a few calves, run over a few yatris and babajis. But there's no loss. It's all in a day's parikrama. So this is the car parikrama of the 21st century. It's a special contribution of the Punjab nation. I guess my school just closed. I just announced the official closing of my school because all my students have quit the school because the teacher offended them all. Okay, we quit your school now. So then I'd be out, because a guru can't be a guru unless he has a kulu. Guru kulu. You can't be a guru unless you have shishya, right? If you say, I'm a father, can you be a father without having children? No, impossible. Can you be a husband without a wife? So the wife is very important. That's why I said your my determines your I. Without having my wife, you can't be I am husband, right? So your possessions determine your ego, your identity. We had that class, remember? We were talking about your my. Your sense of my determines your sense of I. I am a mother. Why are you a mother? Because I have my children. If you don't have my children, you're not a mother. I'm a wife because I am, which is ego or id or identity, I am wife. I am wife on the basis of my possession, my husband, right? This is basic. So that's why we have my Krishna and I am his servant. Our identity of I is based on our mamta. Mamta means sense of possession. It's called mamta bhav. It's very important, in, at least especially in higher forms of bhakti, rag bhakti. Mamta, have feelings of possession for the Lord. This is my Lord, my deity, my Giriraj. Oh, your Giriraj is like this, but my Giriraj is like this. My Radha Krishna deity, acha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has put this verse, a Sanskrit verse, of Prabhupada Saraswati, into the common vernacular of Bengali, because this book was written about in 1902, one of the very last books that he wrote. So he wanted to make these secrets very easy. The Sanskrit, he put all into Bengali. Jiva hoka suvivala varanamagan brindaranye chalapara rada anveshan Radha Seva Kari Kara Radha Smaraman Radha Bhave Matte Bhaja Radha Pranadan. Very nice. Bhajan also sing. He's saying Jiva. You've heard that, right? Shadira Vijijal. Jiva Phale Visaya Sagare. Nice. We like this song. Jiva Hoka Sovival. When will my tongue become completely stunned by singing Radha's name? Radha Nam Gan. Gan, Gan means singing. When will I wander along the pathways of Vrindavan searching for Radha? Brindaranya. Aranya, actually Aranya means forest, like we say Aranya. It says Brindaranya Chala. Brindaranya Chalapada. So Aranya means like Dandakaranya. You heard this term? Dandakaranya sages. Aranya. Aranya, and there's a group of books called the Aranyakas. Aranya. Aranyakas. Aranyakas, which are written. These are written for forest dwellers. Aranyakas. I think they're written for sannyasis. There's codes of behavior for sannyasis. Aranya. Aranyakas. Aranyakas or something. That's some of the Vedic literature which are meant for those who live in the forest. So Aranya means forest. It's Brindaranya Chalapada. When will I chala wander on my feet, pada, in the forest of Vrindavan? Radha Anveshane. Searching for Radha. Because Radha's in the forest. And the forest grows. Nikunjas. Nibrita Nikunj. She's there, living there, crying there. Waiting for Krishna to return and crying, visiting this kunj and that kunj. Oh, I came here and Krishna met me here, and she goes in there and cries. So this is a prayer. When will that happen? Now I'm wandering all the streets of the world, searching for money, searching for business. But when will I wander the footpaths in the Brindaranya Chalapada, Radha Anveshani? When will I wander in the forest of Vrindavan, Dwarasavan, Kamyavan, Brindavan, Kokilavan, Bandiravan? When will I wander in those forests, Dwarasavan, searching for Radharani? And when will I spend my time? When will my tongue, my jiva, become stunned? Vival. Vival means overwhelmed or stunned by chanting Ram Nam Gane. Ram Nam Gane, by singing Radha's name. This is the principle, the theory or theoretical principle he's saying. When? Then we might say, well, what's the example? So there's the tattva vichar, the consideration of principle or truth or tattva. And then there's lila vichar, the example. The example illustrating the principle. So the example illustrating the principle is very close at hand. It's actually Paratara Guru. There's Guru, Param Guru, Paratara. It's called Paratara Guru. Guru, Grand Guru, and Great Grandfather Guru, whatever. So Guru is Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Param Guru is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Paratara Guru is Gorakishore Das Babaji. So he was wandering 30 years in Vrindavan, from forest to forest to forest, 1920s, 30s, like this, 40s. And he was wandering everywhere, chanting Radharani's name. Kotai go, prema mahi, radhe, radhe, go, prema mahi, radhe, 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 kano mano mohini, radhe, radhe, prishabano nandini, radhe, radhe, ashtashaki brin. Ashashaki Shiramani Radhe Radhe, Prima Go Mai Radhe Radhe Radhe, Kotai Go Prima Mai Radhe Radhe, Kotai Go Prima Mai Radhe Radhe. Oh, Kotai, Kahan. Kotai means Radharani, where are you? Where are you? Kotai Go Prima Mai. You're made of Prem. You're made of Mahabhav, Mananakya Mahabhav. You're breathing, seeing, feeling, everything Mahabhav, the greatest intense mad love for Krishna. Where are you? I'm going to this forest and that forest, Madhavan, Mahavan, all these forests looking for you. I can't find you. And I'm thinking of you that you're Kana Mano Mohini. You're the one that steals the mind, that bewilders the Mano of Mohini. You bewilder, steal, captivate, and enchant the mind of Kanu. Kanu means Kana, Krishna Kaniya, Kanu. Kanu is a nickname for Krishna, Kanu. K-A-N-U. Kanu, Mano, Mohini. And your Ashtashakhi Shiromani. I remember you, that you're surrounded by your confidants, by your Ashtashakhis, Lita Vishaki, Chitra, Champak, Indulekha, Tongavidya, Rangadevi, Sudevi. They're surrounding you and supporting you, enhancing your love and increasing your loving dealings with Krishna. And you're the Shiromani, you're the crest jewel of all of them. Ashtashakhi Shiromani. Shiromani, you're the jewel on the crest, on the head of all of them. You're the moon and they're the stars. They derive their light from you. And you're Vrishabhanu Nandini. You're the blissful beloved daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Where are you? Radhe, 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 Radhe. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that this is a desirable activity. This is something to aspire for, to desire for. This type of madness, this type of absorption, this type of focus. In whom? In Srimati Radharani. Where? In Braj. Radha Seva Kara, Radha Smara Man, Radha Bhave Matte Bhaja, Radha Pranadhan. When will Karakara, both my hands, be engaged in Radha Seva? So it's this prayer, which parodies the prayer of Prabhunananda Saraswati that we read previously from Radharasa Surinidhi. It's running parallel to that. And you see the similarities of this prayer to Amrish's prayer in 9th canto of Bhagavatam. But Amrish wants to engage his hands in cleaning the temple. Mandira Marjanando. Shri Vigrahara Dhanani Chanana Shingaratan Mandira Marjanando. He wants to use his hands to clean the Shri Mandir, the temple of Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan. Well, that's very good. This is the aspiration of the Vaidhi Sadaka, the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. It's a very nishchita, it's a very great sankalpa. It's called seva sankalpa, resolution to do seva, very fixed and determined to seva with all of one's bodily limbs. And Ambarish is glorified for that. Different devotees are glorified for their absorption in bhakti. Akrura is glorified for his absorption in bhakti by offering prayers, Akrura Vandanam. Arjuna is glorified for his absorption and service in Sakya. Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. Then Atmanavedanam, that's Bali Maharaj, right? He gave everything. Atmanavedanam means surrendering everything. And then one who engaged all of his limbs and all of his bodily parts in the service of the Lord, that is Ambarish Maharaj. It's mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one who attained devotional perfection by hearing, who is that? Maharaj Parikshit. Who attained devotional perfection by chanting Kirtanam? Shukadeva Goswami. Who showed the example of devotional perfection by Vishnu Smaranam? Bhakta Prahlad. He was always remembering the Lord. Who displayed the principle of attaining perfection by Vishnu Padasevanam? Serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Lakshmi Devi Vaikuntha, she's showing this example. This verse is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it goes like this. So Ambarish Maharaj, he's showing the ideal of for those at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana. We want all our senses to be engaged in the service of the Aishwarya Lord, the all omnipotent, all powerful Lord, and cleaning his temple. But here he's saying Radha Seva Kara Kara, Radha Smaraman. He's saying my Kara Kara means the hands are called Kara. He says, I want my hands to be engaged in Radha Seva, the service of Radharani. Massaging her feet, carrying messages for her, writing a message for her. If she might be too much upset and too much heartbroken, she can't even hold a quill. She can't even hold a peacock quill in her hand to write some note to Krishna on a lotus petal. So she says, oh Manjari, I'm trembling in separation from my Shyam. My heart is so broken. Please, you take a letter. I'll dictate a letter to you. So this is where secretarial services first began. The Manjaris render secretarial services. So sometimes people say, are there secretaries in the spiritual world? Because usually so many women around the world would be employed as secretaries, typing and all these things. So yes, there's an opportunity to be Radharani's secretary. You can take dictation when she's in the ecstasy of separation and she wants to send some note or some love letter. Sometimes Krishna would send letters to Radharani and he would send letters to her, exchange of love letters. Uddhava himself, Uddhava Mahashaya in Bhagavatam, in chapter 46 and 47, he was carrying a letter. Krishna was in Mathura, and he wrote a letter and gave it to Uddhava. And he said, please, can you do courier mail for me? This is the beginning of courier mail service. He said, and then Uddhava said, well, you can send it by British Post, but it may take forever to get there. He said, no, I'll pay the extra money and send it by courier. You can go and take Kamsa's chariot also. So Uddhava came on Kamsa's chariot. The gopis were very fearful because when they saw this chariot outside Nanda Maharaj's house, on the blinders over the eyes of the horses, the eight horses on that chariot, quite a hot rod Rath, very fast chariot, eight horses. The blinders, this is what blinders are. Horse has these leather pieces on his eye, over his eyes like this, so he can't have lateral, it's called peripheral vision. He can't see from left to right, he can only see straight ahead. It'd be a good idea for all brahmacharis to have a pair of those. At any rate, these horses had these blinders on them, and then on the outside of the blinders there was engraved in a very ornate way, beautiful letter K. What did that letter K stand for? Kamsa. Because this was Kamsa's chariot, and it was one of the spoils of war when Krishna knocked him out. TKO. Or no, just not TKO, but KO. Krishna knocked him out. Krishna knocked him out and threw him out of the box, out of the viewer's box, and dragged him by the hair across the dais and down the street, and then dropped him by Vishram Ghat, and he carried him 300 meters by the hair, dragged him through town, just to make sure no one would think he would come back again. He took him by the hair and dragged him like a mop. He mopped the street. Krishna used Kamsa's body to mop the streets of Mathura. Then he dropped him off by Vishram Ghat. He went and took a bath in Yamuna and washed his hands, as they say, wash my hands of this. He washed his hands of that episode. Then he felt a little tired. There's a beautiful banyan tree leaning over the Yamuna there. So he took advantage of the setting to lie down there and under that tree, and some people came and gave him some fruits, and this was how he celebrated the end of Kamsa. So defeating Kamsa, then he got his chariot and his palace and all the other things he had accumulated over there. So when he sent the courier mail, when he sent the first courier mail of Uddhava to Vrindavan, then he said, listen, take my chariot here. Take my hot rod. So he took Kamsa's chariot, and when it came to Vrindavan, landed in Nandagaon, or ride in Nandagaon, and some messengers, some Manjari duties, called duties, messengers, they always have their eyes and ears everywhere, keeping an eye on everything and reporting. They're kind of like FBI or CIA or whatever. So they reported the news to Radharani. There's a big chariot that's come to Nandagram at dusk, last night at sunset, and it looks exactly like the chariot that came to bring Akrura, because it was. Akrura came in the same chariot to take Krishna and Balaram out of the hearts of the gopis and steal them off to Mathura. So they said, oh my God, what's going on? Has Akura come back now? And Vishnu Chakravarti says, has he come back? Now he's already taken our hearts. Years ago, or some time ago, he came and took Krishna out of Vrindavan. He took our very hearts out of our body. Now it appears that Kamsa is performing a celebration yajna, a victory yajna, Vijay Homa, and in order to ignite the fires of that yajna, he's going to throw our bodies in there. So he sent Akrura here to Nandagram. He's already stolen our hearts. Now he's come to collect our bodies. He's going to put all our bodies in a chariot and take our bodies to Mathura and burn them up in the fire, the yajna fire. And they had these different ideas about who was coming on that chariot, why that chariot was there. He's saying that, when will both of my hands be engaged in the service of Radha? Radha bhave matte bhaja Radha pranadani. He said, when will I remember Radha in my mind? Radha bhav matte. Matte means opinion. Matte means opinion, consideration, intellect. Matte. When will I deeply discriminate Radha Bhav? The mood of Radha Bhav means Rudha Bhav. There's Rudha Bhav, Adi Rudha Bhav. Rudha Bhav, which is very high form of Prana, is Adi Rudha Bhav, which is these two forms of Mahabhav, Adi Rudha Bhav, Adi Rudha Mahabhav. So one like discriminator, consider deeply with my intelligence and mind the intense love that Radharani has for Krishna. Bhaja Radha Pranadan. When will I remember Radha in my mind, and then, intoxicated by Radha's rapturous mellows, will I worship the Lord of Radha's life? Bhaja Radha Pranadan. So we worship Krishna, but in relation to Radha. So basically we're worshiping Radha. I'm worshiping Krishna in order to bring him to Radharani. There's some commentary here. Prabhananda Saraswati is praying humbly to attain attachment to the lotus feet of Radha's Prananath through her festival of ecstatic moods, Bhavotsav, by engaging all his senses in Radha Bhajan. So this is when we say Kinkari Bhav, or the mood of a maidservant, or the mood of Radha Dasyam, it means that we'll engage all our senses, like Ambarish Maharaj, engaging all his senses in Narayan Seva. We'll engage all our senses in Radha Seva, Radha Bhajan. And then how will we do that? Well, what are our senses? Well, the tongue is a big one, jiva. When will my tongue become stunned or overwhelmed, vival, by tasting the nectarine ras of Radha's name? There is no equal to the happiness experienced by the tongue, which with heartfelt preem tastes the nectar of Srimati's name. In other words, when we're at the stage of prema, after a sakti, bhav, and prema, at the stage of prema, our devotional love, love of God, then when we chant the holy name, it will be pure. It will be Shudanam, Shudaradanam. And at that time, all the taste of Radha, Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila, Parishishta, and Dham, everything will be compressed and contained within the holy name of Radha. So at that level, at that time of chanting, then will so much rasa, so much nectarine rasa will be there in the name. And this verse was often quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whenever he was preaching Nam Tattva. He would say, Namachintamani Krishnas. This is from Padma Puran. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Vinatvam Namanamano. So it's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Everything will be compressed and contained within the holy name of Radha. So at that level, at that time of chanting, then will so much rasa, so much nectarine rasa will be there in the name. And this verse was often quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whenever he was preaching Nam Tattva. He would say, Namachintamani Krishnas. This is from Padma Puran. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Vinatvam Namanamano. So it's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. This is a Vigraha. This Nam, this holy name of Krishna or Radha, Hara or Hare, Radha, and Radharaman Krishna or Krishna, Shamasundar Krishna, or Radhanam, Radhikanam, or Radhanam. It is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is the Murti or Vigraha, very form, the personified form of Chaitanya Rasa, living Rasa. It's alive. And anything living has the capacity to love and to feel. And not only to love and to feel, but to love and feel in the highest extent, to feel ecstasy, to love in the highest way. The Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, this name is alive, Chaitya. Chaitanya. Chaitanya means living force. Living force, and the force of life is love. Love is the greatest force in life. And that love, when it's experienced in the deepest way, it produces ecstasy. So this is prema ras. So at the level of prema, one chants Radhe, 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 Radhe. Then they're experiencing tremendous ras, or mellows of love, because they're directly experiencing directly experiencing Radharani, her form, her qualities, her pastimes. So that's something to wait for. Because now maybe we chant just like we're chanting the Maha Mantra, but we're not experiencing Bhakti Ras or Nam Ras because of Anarthas and Aparads. But there's so much Ras there. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. There's an ocean of Ras. Ananda means Ras. Ras Anand. So He's saying, when will that happen? Kada, kada, kada. When? When will that happen? Well, at least he's praying in the right direction. At least he's aspiring in the right direction. So he's giving, by his prayer, by his words, by his instructions, he's giving some shape to our aspiration, some shape to our thinking, some shape to our desiring. Because now our thinking, aspiration, desiring is rather amorphous. Morph means shape. Amorphous means shapeless or without shape. We have no direction. We desire this. We hanker for that. We want this. There's no concentrated direction. There's no defined direction. So Prabhupada Saraswati and numerous others, Narottam Das Thakur and Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Rupa Goswami and other writings, Upadeshamrita, they're trying to give shape to our bhajan, give direction to our aspiration, give definition to our aspiration and direction. So he's doing the same thing here. Because our tongues are really busy. And they don't have any lack of things to say. Our tongues have no lack of subjects to vibrate. So he's saying, listen tongue, listen my tongue, listen tongue, Mr. Jiva, when will you become Vivala? When will you become overwhelmed by chanting Radha name? Radha's name. When will you experience the Prem Ras in chanting Radha's name? Oh, I don't know. I never really thought like that. I never really desired like that. So they know that. The Mahajanacharyas, the Gaudiya Vedanta, the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, they know very well how spaced out we are, how scattered brain we are. Our brain is scattered in a million directions, and so are our desires. So they're trying to chop all those extraneous desires away from our heart and mind and say, desire like this, hanker like this, pray like this. Then we say, all right, I will become anugatya of you. I will follow in your footsteps. I will try to mold my life and my prayers after your life and prayers. I will try to model my behavior after your behavior, and in a humble way, in a prayerful way. So this is the sum and substance of Gaudiya Bhajan in terms of anugatya. And Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says, Brajatishtan, Brajatishtan anuragi anugami. He says, Brajatishtan, we should live in Braj. Tishtan, stan means place, lilastan. Brajatishtan, anuragi anugami. We should live in Brajadam in the association of anuragi Vaishnavas and anugami. We should follow in their footsteps, follow their teachings, follow their example, and pray for their mercy. So in a nutshell, this is being given in Bhajan Rahasyam. It's a very profound and deep book. It's Bhajan, the way of Bhajan. We have books in the West written by Christians, the way of a pilgrim. The way of a pilgrim. It's some book about some yatri or seeker of truth. And there are many, many books like that. Many people take this same theme, looking for the truth, the seeker, the searcher, the pilgrim. There's hundreds of books by thousands of authors with the same idea. Somebody's wandering here or there somewhere in Mexico and journey Ixtland or Carlos Castaneda or in the Himalayas or the Pacific or in Fiji or meets a medicine man or a shaman, Indian shaman or a yogi in Himalayas. It's always a pretty much similar thing. And they have all these wild mystical experiences with animals and nature. I mean, the names change, but the storyline is the same. And there's always some conclusion, and there's some tragedy, and all these things. It's the substance of novels. It's the same. It's old wine in a new bottle. It just keeps coming out. So the idea is that these are popular books for people, and they like them. So we have also the way of a pilgrim. And the way of a pilgrim, the path of perfection, as Prabhupada said, is contained in the writings of our benevolent acharyas, our well-wishing acharyas, especially Prabhudananda Saraswati, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, etc. These are very important books for us. They're written for us. So he's saying, there is no equal to the happiness experienced by the tongue that with heartfelt prem tastes the nectar of Srimati's name. Happiness comes when one has achieved the desired perfection by performing Nam Sankirtan of one's object of worship. The name appears primarily upon the tongue, and both the chanter and the hearer derive bliss. This is from Brihad Bhagavat Tamrita, book number 2, chapter 3, verse 164 and 5. Nama sankirtanam proktam krishnasya premasampadi balishtam saranam shrestam paramakshara mantravat tadeva manyate bhakte phalam tadrasiker jane bhagavat premasampato sadaiva vyabhicharata. Sanan Goswami says, it is said that to obtain the wealth of praying for Krishna, Nam Sankirtan is the best and most powerful sadhana. Prem Sampad says, Krishna Prem Sampad. Sampad means wealth. Sampad. And how to attain that wealth, that fortune, that treasure? Nam Sankirtan Proktam. Proktam means this is the powerful way, the best way. This supremely attractive Maha Mantra draws Sri Krishna towards the sadhaka. Therefore, Rasika devotees of Bhagavan conclude that Sankirtan is the result of bhakti. It is unfailing in bestowing the wealth of Bhagavat Prem. This is the verse. Relish of the very ras of Bhagavan, who is the embodiment of concentrated ras, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, which we said, is definitely contained within his name. Although there is such taste in Krishna's name, that same Nami, that, in other words, there's the name and the person who is being named, Shamsundar, he becomes overwhelmed when he tastes the name of Sri Radha. It is the nature of prema that the lover will have affection for the name of the beloved. Once, due to the vigilance of Jatila, Kishori could not meet Shamsundar, and therefore Krishna fainted in separation from Radhika. Madho Mangal went to Kishori, but since Kishori was being heavily guarded by Jatila, she was not able to leave her house in Yavat. To pacify Krishna's fire of separation, Viraha Agni, Radharani wrote a letter and sent it to Krishna via courier, Manjari Courier Services, MCS. You can start this business in the spiritual world. MCS, Manjari Courier Service. We were just saying this, now it's coming up. To pacify Krishna's fire of separation, she wrote the two syllables, Ra, Da, on a lotus petal, curled it up, put a stamp on it, no, she rolled it up and sent it to Krishna. So see, Radharani's writing love letters to Krishna. Love letter had two syllables, do matra, ra, da. As soon as Krishna sees that letter, he opens up, some mantri comes and says, Sham, look, I have some courier mail from you. 50 rupees, please, thank you. I have courier mail for you from Radha, from Radharani. Oh, what did she say? Dear Sham Sundar, please, Pamho, AGTSP, Pamho, please accept my humble obeisances. AGTSP. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dandabat. Dandavat. Jai Radhe. Dear Shamsundar, I really miss you. No. He opens up the lotus petal, and what does the letter say? There's no introduction. There's no heading. There's no Sri Guru Gauranga Jayata or anything on it. It says, Radha. Very short letter. They say, eloquence. What is eloquence? Eloquence is essential truth spoken concisely, which is the definition in Chaitanya Charitamrita of eloquence. And even a definition is eloquent. The definition of eloquence is also eloquent. Eloquence is essential truth spoken concisely. So there's no greater or better or no higher essential truth than Radha. Radha is the form of truth. Because truth is love, and love is bliss, and Radharani is the highest bliss and the highest love. So being the repository or the epitome of the highest bliss and the highest love, Prema Sarup, Prema Srup Srimati Radharani, she is the essence of all truth. And so it's quite appropriate and quite eloquent to summarize all of that with the two syllables, Radha. Radha, 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 Bolo, Radha, 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 Hamradana, Radhe, Shri Radhe, Shri Radhe, Hamradana, Radhe, Shri Radhe, Shri Radha, 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 Premadana, Radha, 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 Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe, 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 Brajendra Nandan Shamasundra Ki Jai, Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. And tomorrow we will find out what happened when Krishna received this letter.